Cast, the global politics podcast at the end of history. My name is Alex Hokuli, and today we're talking about power, specifically electricity and energy. And I'm delighted to be joined by Matt Huber, professor in the Department of Geography and the Environment at Syracuse University. And we're going to be talking about his recent essay in Catalyst with Fred Stafford called Socialist Politics and the Electricity Grid. And also reflecting on some of the wider themes of Matt's book, Climate Change as Class War, Building Socialism on a Warming Planet, which came out last year. And I would strongly encourage listeners to pick up a copy. Hello, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
Very good to have you on. I received your essay in Catalyst, and I thought it was very good. I mean, I learned a lot from it because I don't know. I'm going to start off with the very first question, which is, you know, who has the power? To put it really bluntly, who has the power, and specifically who owns energy production and the grid in the US? Because I think that's something which is kind of opaque. And unless you work in industry, even if you do, you might not really have a terribly good sense of, you know, who owns this stuff and who calls the shots.
Yeah, and it depends a lot on what country you're in and regional context, but in it also depends on how you sort of envision what the grid is. I mean, it's typically broken up into three different parts. There's the what's called the generation system, which are like power plants and things like solar farms and windmills that generate electricity and transmit it to the grid. And then there's a process called transmission, which is the sort of really big power lines you might see when you're driving around, the sort of super large ones that transmit long distance electricity. And then there's the distribution system, which is more like the, you know, the smaller scale poles and lines that go directly to businesses and homes. And each of those systems are kind of managed by different sets of capitalists and sometimes publicly owned government entities, depending on where you are. But, you know, we're talking a lot about in the piece about climate politics and decarbonization. When it comes to that process, obviously the main concern is generation and production of electricity, because that's what's generating all the greenhouse gas emissions. And at least in the United States, that part of the grid has been really subjected to a process of deregulation, where it used to be that you had these vertically oriented utilities that controlled generation, transmission, distribution, all as one kind of system, and they would plan that system according to the consumption needs of whatever territory they were given kind of a monopoly over this whole grid system. And obviously, neoliberals and market reformers did not like this kind of huge monopoly power and this sort of incredible oversized power that the utilities had over the whole system. So they said, why don't we break up particularly the generation side and allow competition? So now you have a process where there's a lot of what are called independent power producers or merchant generators that kind of compete in a market to sell power onto the grid. And this has become more prominent, particularly after the 1970s. And so you have a lot of, you know, generation in some parts of the country might be owned by these old legacy utilities, but in other parts, it's really just a bunch of sort of scattered private capitalists competing on the market. And what we talk about in the piece is how that deregulation of production really opened the door for small-scale renewable producers to kind of insert themselves in the market and compete in the market. And now they're a huge force sort of selling power onto the grid in these sort of crazily constructed wholesale markets that try to, one, sort of rambling here, but one of the kind of crazy things about an electricity grid